Joe Ingabire. We've welcomed two special guest speakers, and we are asking them to contribute to our civic ceremony today. Our first, Joe Ingabire, now Joe Ingabire Moyes, recently married, and our congratulations, was born in 1989 in Kigali, the capital city of Rwanda. Joe had a happy early childhood with her mother, father, and five siblings. Neighbors in Joe's community were akin to family, and everyone played together in the street and in one another's homes. Everything changed in 1994 when tensions rose between Hutu and Tutsi, and when the Hutus took over the radio waves and spread messages using songs and slogans to dehumanize Tutsis, calling them cockroaches and playing anti-Tutsi songs. On the 9th of April, six Hutu men came to Joe's home and gathered the family together, indiscriminately shooting until they thought everyone was dead. Lucky to survive with multiple gunshot wounds, she hid for the 100 days of the genocide in Rwanda with her mother. Today, Joe is using the power of words to reflect on her story with us. And more widely, Joe works with a charity she has co-founded with Eric Murangwe called Survivors Tribune.
One of my earliest memories is of me aged 5, standing crying in the corner of a small room with a group of trembling classmates. On that crisp morning, my nursery teacher asked the Tutsi children to separate from the Hutu children. I had no idea what those words meant, so I just froze in the middle of the room. My teacher then came to me and pointed to the cold corner where a few stricken classmates already herded in shame. "That's where I belonged," she said. It was then that I learned that being labeled a Tutsi was not something I wanted. It meant I was to be laughed at, ridiculed, and humiliated. Even when I looked at people, I had to avert my gaze, bow my head. I had to defer to them because the name Tutsi was a mark of inferiority. In my native tongue, Kinyarwanda, we have a saying that the name is the person. Today, this carries more meaning than ever. The words and names we choose to define an event or a person carry the power of life and death. Systematic massacres are carried out by governments when world leaders are reluctant to act because their mandate is governed by whether or not that conflict is to be defined as a genocide. Our definitions determine whether we become entire complicit in abusing the human rights of victims or pursue justice and act in their defense. When we agree with movements that seek to label people in order to create a them and a us narrative, we dehumanize them and ourselves by relinquishing our ability to see the individual, to know the individual, and to be the individual. When I was 7 years old, I officially changed my name. I managed to get away with this until I was 7, and by then it was too late for my mother or teachers to do anything about it. I was a good student, mind you. It wasn't an act of pure rebellion. I was just tired of hearing my father's name every morning at roll call and the questions that inevitably followed: "Where's your father's family name from?" My father had been killed in the genocide against the Tutsis. His brothers, sisters, and parents had been wiped out too. And so to answer that simple question, "Where's your father's family name from?" I had to mention his hometown, which is infamous for the atrocities committed there. I had to explain that no, his family did not survive. They were killed by their neighbors and friends. And no, my father did not survive either. And so I replaced my family name with a generic middle name, and my family line was no longer traceable. And just like that, my family history was erased. I could just be a face in the crowd. I could just blend in with the masses. By doing that, I sought to escape associations with the labels of being victims or Tutsi or even Rwandan and immigrant. But in so doing, I also lost track of my core self. Words create. They create worlds adorned with love, poetry, and music, or hate, suspicion, and fear. In the past, words have cursed nations with wars born of hateful ideologies, and we see the residue of that even today. However, words in this moment and today will birth life and joy, because I stand before here to say that words also saved my life. Literature came to my rescue as a teenager, and through it I learned that I had the power to self-identify. My words, written or spoken, have expanded my life beyond the restraints of what was assigned to me as an inferior other. They have created a way of that dark corner for that little girl. I'm emboldened to imagine an alternative family history and assist in helping others reclaim their voice and their name. May I invite you to share in that responsibility of using words to create the world you want to see, worlds of encouragement, words of education, words of protests, and words of kindness. Thank you.